King Nal ruled Nishad, the ancient prosperous kingdom of India. No other king equaled him in leadership, wielding weapons, horse expertise, or dharma, the duty. His male beauty rivaled the gods. His perfection was marred slightly by his love of gambling. The love saga of Nal and Damayanti, Mahabharata, Hindu mythology. Hertfordshire, England, June 1895. Miss Dina Campbell, tucked in a black curl in her upswept hair arrangement, flat in the front of her gown, and squared her shoulders outside Papa's library, to discourage, or dispatch to be honest, her 20th suitor. Or was it 30th? It was hard to count correctly, with Papa's horse luring hordes of horse-mad men. But she was prepared. An out-of-fashion purple gown with a globe-like bustle behind her posterior? Check. A look of blue-stocking disdain on her face. She peeked in the mirror on the wall. Check. An unladylike burst through the doors with a loud bang? Check. She willed her eyes to roam everywhere in the room but to the man who was skimming the tall mahogany bookshelves. The sheer lemony curtains fluttered, allowing the sunlight to permeate and dance on the exotic tapestries. Fresh pink lilies posed in tall, ornate vases. A faint sandalwood aroma whirled in the room from the incense burning on the table. Then she glanced at the more than 6-foot-tall gentleman, only to halt in her tracks as she sucked in a breath. The man, he rose, drawing her eyes to his strong legs in his tan trousers, ending with fawn boots. She was a horseman's daughter. She usually noticed legs first. As her gaze swept upward, she couldn't help but admire his muscled frame. Broad shoulders filled his deep blue waistcoat. Despite aristocratic features, a tanned face screamed of outdoor work. So what if he likes the outdoors as much as I do?
Miss Campbell, I presume?
He bowed. Your Grace, she curtsied automatically. He sported a long nose, piercing dark eyes, a strong-willed jawline, and a full head of raven hair. His presence filled the room, exuding a powerful aura, charging the air with a larger-than-life influence. Her heart raced, for the first time in 30 suitors. They'd never met. What with her childhood spent in India, her recent travels, and the Duke's absence from society. But she knew of him. Aetius White, the Duke of Saxton, better known as the horse-breeding and racing king, the bareback duke. Mostly, she had read the papers. The photographs had depicted a thin youth training as a jockey. They had nicknamed him Bareback Duke because of his first derby victory years ago, or rather, for how he'd ridden his horse. Riding without a saddle was called bareback riding. But Saxton had ridden without a shirt. Accidentally, but still. If he appeared so virile with a presentable attire, how would he look without a shirt? Then he went and opened his mouth. He indeed had excellent teeth, spouting pompous words and ruining the effect of his handsome physique.
So, you are to be the Duchess of Saxton?
She promptly unimpressed herself.
No, I'm not.
Whatever gave him that notion? He blinked. Good. Apparently, a horse had garnered the bareback duke's attention. A wife wouldn't even come close. Dina wouldn't spend her life as anyone's second interest. Even second place was stretching too far. There must be no stables, races, jockeys, and if she was lucky, no dogs ahead of her in line for her husband's affection.
Clearly, Mr. Campbell hasn't divulged the arrangement to you.
He straightened.
Clearly not.
Papa must have dangled the prize horse Rochko as a dowry once again. Rochko had already won the 2,000 guineas race in April and the Derby last week, two out of three races together known as the prestigious Triple Crown. No wonder the famous horse-racing duke had agreed to marry her for it. But she wouldn't marry him.